For the longest time, I used to think that get well cards just don't make sense. It always seemed to me, you know, I'd get a get well card and my cynical self would say, oh, well, thanks, I didn't think of that. I'll go ahead and get well now. But I finally realized when I stopped being so hypercritical that these cards are just to let people know that they're with you and they're thinking about you. We have a lot of things like that in our culture. We have people who will say, even to clinically depressed people, cheer up. Or they will say, don't cry, little girl. All of those, as inept as they feel, are ways of our trying to be with one another. They are expressions of comfort when we don't know what else to say, especially in the face of illness or depression or fear. Also, this is a manifestation of our wariness of expressing ourselves too clearly about our care for other people. Get well often means, I love you. I'm concerned about you. I'm with you. We all have our awkward ways of misdirection, our anxious ways of telling people we are with them, because we know that is important. And incarnation, God taking the form of human flesh, is God's version of being with us all the time. And that sense of incarnation sets our Christian faith tradition apart from others. God's being with us is the focus. Being with us. Presence. Not fixing, but simply being. Revelation 21, one of my two favorite passages in all of Scripture, says, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. God is with us as a presence, not just as a fixer. Jesus, very often in the passages of the Gospels, Jesus performed healing miracles. And very often after those healing miracles, he would tell the person, tell no one. That says to me that Jesus was not trying to get the word out that he could fix our diseases of the body. He was trying to convey that being with each other and being with God is the focus. The healing that he did was not about fixing a temporary physical dwelling. It was about being with people individually in relationship. It is what we all crave, to know that someone is with us, and with us in a particular way. I once read that the opposite of loneliness is not togetherness, it is intimacy. We can feel lonely in a crowd. God did not become manifest in Jesus to be with crowds. God became manifest in Jesus to be with me, to be with you, to be with our friends, our loved ones, even our enemies, and to be with each person in the human world who might be faceless to us, but intimately known to Jesus. I always wondered, if Jesus could perform these miraculous healings, why wouldn't he do it en masse? There's story after story in the Gospels of people coming to him in large crowds seeking healing for themselves or for their loved ones. If Jesus could make the disease and affliction go away, and if that was the focus of his ministry, why wouldn't he just wave his hand over the entire crowd and make them all well? Because it's not about fixing the physical body. It is about a sense of the presence, the immediate presence of God. After Jesus does his healing, he lets us know that we are to go forth and do what he has done to bring healing to others, but to realize that one day we ourselves will need healing. And he tells us at that time, and I will be with you physically, eternally, intimately with you. There is a difference, an important difference between curing and healing. Curing is the addressing of a temporal problem to make a physical problem go away. Sometimes that will help us heal, but we can be healed even if we're not cured. Healing is a place where we find wholeness, a sense of being with God, a way of being in the immortal while living in this mortal world. When we choose God, when we recognize that God is with us, there is a new integration of time and eternity. And we find peace here. Jesus says, I will be with you to the end of the ages. Remember that the promise in Revelation is that God will come be with us here. Not that we will go to heaven to be with God. That presence and not an act of curing is God's promise to us. It says that God is with us now anytime we make an eternal choice, choosing something that is lasting, placing God and God's will ahead of our silly human agendas. See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. That is not Jesus telling us to get over what's happening in human life. It's not even Jesus telling us that God will be the great fixer of human life's details. He says, tell no one I cured you, because ultimately I'm here to heal you. He will dwell with them as their God. The translation of this passage of what God is saying to us is this: I love you. I'm concerned about you. I'm with you. Get well soon.